We listen to the scripture reading from Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Blessed be the word of God, the word of God for the people of God. And you may be seated. Have you ever really, really taken a moment to consider everything that God knows about you? You know, in the psalm that we just read, we find that God knows every intimate detail of our life, not just what we do, but even what we think. And we all have skeletons in our closets that we would not even want our closest friends or family to know about. And can you imagine, stop a moment and think about stuff in your life that if you were running for political office, you wouldn't want your opponent to find out about, because you know right away where that would go. You know, we all have those things. It's like, oh, I hope, keep that quiet. I don't want anybody to know that. We have things that, you know, that just we're either ashamed of or embarrassed by or both. But, you know, God knows all those things. And even though he knows all those things about how ugly you have been, he still has a passion and a love for who you are. You know, as ugly as this world is, you agree it's ugly right now, but it's been ugly for millennia. You know, we think it's new, but it's not. If you've been doing this, the Bible readings that Pastor Chris has encouraged you to do, you'll find the truth there. It was ugly way back, you know. And God still loves this world enough that he sent his son Jesus Christ to come into this world, because he has passion for you. And when you have a passion for something, you just can't help but pursue it. When you have a passion for someone or something, you just can't help but pursue it. I'm going to pick on Wayne over there real quick. You know, Wayne has a passion for old tractors. He's pointing at you, Greg. You know, but there's a, you know, they seek and pursue places where they can see new old tractors. You know, I haven't seen that tractor. When you have a passion for something, you can't help but pursue it. And God is that way because of his passion for you. You know, and it's interesting that, you know, in creation that we're the thing that was created in the image of God. God loves all of his creation, but with us, it's something even special that he would send his son for us. And in response to that passion, it's also interesting that it's usually the most unlikely people that respond and draw near to Jesus and the passion that he has for us. You know, Jesus welcomes into his midst anybody, but it always seems to be the ones that are most unlikely that you would think would be most unworthy. Because Jesus was never concerned about social standing, and he was never concerned about, you know, how good of a person you might be on the outside. His passion was always for everyone who's lost, and he found that, you know, the lost were more satisfied to know of his love. He offers everybody a fresh start, but it seems that those who are broken the most long most for that fresh start. You think about some of the people he worked with, you know, like, and when he calls them and gives them that, they experience that passion. You have Peter, James, John, and Andrew, fishermen. Fishermen were not the easiest crowd in that day. And he invites them to come follow him. He offers them a part of his passion. And sometimes when God offers his passion, it seems like the most unlikely moment that he would offer that. Peter, James, John, Andrew, you know, they just had the largest catch of their lifetime. Jesus said, put out in the water, let down your nets. And they're like, well, you know, we know we're professionals. There's nothing there. But they let down their nets. They catch so many fish that their two boats start to sink. I mean, nobody catches fish like that. And it's in the midst of having this massive abundance, Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they leave it all behind and follow him. Because there's a passion there. Have you ever encountered somebody that has a passion? You know, we're drawn to people with a passion. Somebody that's starting a new business and excited about their business, and they'll start to, oh, let me tell you, you know, I can tell you the best place to invest, or if you really want to buy this, this is what you should get. You know, if you got something brand new and you're just so amazed by it, you just can't help but tell people about it. Or maybe you're playing a new game, you've never played this game before, and it was so much fun that you tell everybody else, oh, we got to get together, we need to play this game because it's so good. When you catch the passion, you can't help but want to share it. And that's one of the things that Jesus' passion and enthusiasm does, is James, John, Peter, Andrew, they caught that passion by being with Jesus. They encountered Jesus, they experienced that passion, and now we'll leave the fish behind because this is something we really want to do. You know, and again, those who are most likely to catch the excitement of the passion are ones that you don't really think would be ones that he would grab. But there are people that need something new, something fresh, some new sense of hope. You might not see it in them, but it's lingering down in their heart. And Jesus, he has chance encounters with all those kinds of people. With one person after another, that, you know, kind of it looks like unplanned, unexpected encounters. They just happen to be there. And they encounter Jesus' passion, and they can't help but want to follow him. They become agents of his passion. This is just, I'm kind of going off script here, but thinking about Jesus that encounters the demoniac when they go over and the crowd of pigs, you know, runs down into the ocean and into the sea and drowns. And that demoniac, there was a chance encounter, happened to be right where they landed. And then that person says, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, you go back to your villages and tell them what God's done for you. He becomes an agent of passion, of Jesus' passion. The woman at the well, we know that story in John chapter 4. Jesus and his disciples on their way back, instead of going through the long way around, which all the Jews usually would do, they rarely would want to go through Samaria. But Jesus goes through Samaria. It's kind of like you that might pick a different route because you don't want to go through a certain section of Pittsburgh. You know, you've seen on the news that, you know, in that part of the area, Pittsburgh, you know, there's shootings happening and this happening. So you find a longer way around. Well, Jesus, he didn't take the long route. He took the disciples straight through Samaria. It gets to be noontime. They come to a well. He sits down at the well. The disciples go into the nearby village to look for food. And while Jesus is there, he has a chance encounter with a woman that comes at noontime to get water. Noontime wasn't when most people drew water. They either drew it early in the morning or in the evening. But she came because she was not the most respectable woman of the town. And so she would come at noontime to avoid the crowds, to avoid the stares, avoid the comments, avoid the guilt, the shame that they might put on her. And she comes to the well, and Jesus asks her for a drink of water. Now, she's a little bit surprised by that because Jews and Samaritans don't mix well. And so a Jew wouldn't ask a Samaritan for a drink of water. Secondly, he's a man alone asking a woman alone for a drink of water. That was, again, outside the cultural boundaries and the norms. She has this chance encounter with Jesus, and a conversation starts up. The moment seems to be unscheduled and unplanned. Just one of those encounters like all of us have where you run into somebody at the gas station or in the grocery store or you know, when you're out shopping. And she's amazed. And as the conversation progresses, Jesus reveals, like in Psalm 139, I know everything about you. And he says, go call your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. He said, I know. You've been married 5 times before, and the one you're with now isn't your husband. Psalm 139 suddenly pops in that this guy knows everything about me. And as her conversation continues, she realizes that this must be the Messiah. And she leaves her bucket and goes back to the village and tells people, you need to come meet this person that told everything, knows everything about me, Psalm 139. And they come, Samaritans coming to a Jew, and they encounter Jesus, and they say, would you stay with us? It's not what Samaritans and Jews do. And Jesus stays 3 days. That's not what Jews do with Samaritans, and shares with them his passion and his love. You know, the woman at the well, her past didn't matter. What she was didn't matter. It's where you're going from here, where you're moving forward from here. Jesus, he was always alert for opportunities to share his passion. We need to be like that. Are we paying attention to the opportunities of the people placed in our path that may seem just by chance or circumstance that we can share the love of Jesus Christ with? Jesus was always aware of the potential of every encounter. One day he's walking down the street in Jericho and there's this short little guy sitting up in a tree. Most of us probably would have just kept walking by, looked up in the tree. Crowds all around, but he looks at the guy in the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, you come down here because I'm going to your house today. Chance encounter. Zacchaeus was just trying to see him over the crowd. Zacchaeus didn't know he was coming. Jesus encounters him, says, you come down here, we're going to get together. And they have the conversation, they have the meal, and Zacchaeus responds to that after he encounters the passion of Jesus. He catches that passion, and he says, you know, everybody is a tax collector that I've cheated. I'm going to restore to them fourfold. Jesus was looking for every possible encounter to share his love. The early church was the same way. You know, you have the story of Philip on the road, and along comes the Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot, and Philip happens to hear him reading from the book of Isaiah, and he just asks the question. He said, do you know what you're, understand what you're hearing, what you're reading? And he said, no, if nobody explains it to me, how would I know? And so Philip climbs up in and explains it all to him, and then the eunuch is baptized that very day. Chance encounter. You know, you have Paul, when he's standing in Athens, and he sees the statue to an unknown god, and he declares to the people, he said, you know, you have this statue to an unknown god, but I know him. Let me tell you about him. And he begins to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. You have Peter that gets called to Cornelius's house. He has no idea who this is or why he's been called, but he gets there and finds, I have the opportunity to share who Jesus is with these Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit falls upon them. Paul and Silas, they're thrown in jail. They're just sitting there singing, having church. When there's an earthquake, everything breaks loose, starts to fall down. They hear the jailer about to kill himself, and they say, no, wait, we're here. And they begin to share Jesus, and the jailer and his family come to Christ. You know, you can go through the book of Acts, and you'll see encounter after encounter, unplanned, unscheduled. But the passion of Jesus Christ is in their heart so much, they can't help but be an agent that shares that passion. When you encounter the passion of Christ, it doesn't matter who other people are. It's contagious. We worry about COVID, whether, you know, did you catch COVID or not? You know, wash your hands, keep social. But the passion of Jesus Christ is so contagious that when you have it, people catch it from you. And it doesn't matter who you are. It could be a drug addict. It could be a sex addict. It could be a prisoner. It could be football players. It could be business owners. It could be mill workers, on and on and on. Jesus has a passion for them. And if you've captured that passion, you have that same passion too. He invites us to be agents of that passion. 2 weeks ago, Ben Roethlisberger retired. Early in his career, he made some pretty poor choices. And those things he freely admits. A quote of his is, I've fallen as short as anybody. I've been addicted to alcohol. I've been addicted to pornography, which makes me not the best husband, not the best father, nor the best Christian I can be. He said, you have to dedicate yourself and understand that you can get out of it because of the grace of God. Jesus accepts you the way you are. You don't have to be perfect. Jesus knows all about Psalm 139, and he still loves you anyway. Jesus wants us, regardless of who you are and what can be done. And we need to see that in every person we encounter. And he gives us the opportunity to explore our own chance encounters. Do you have the passion, the excitement, to want to reach across barriers and share the love of Jesus? What chance encounters does God bring to you? Is it a neighbor? A friend? Family member? Co-worker? A clerk? Don't let anything you might think about them hinder you from sharing the love of Jesus Christ. God knows everything. He loves them too. You know, the early church, early Methodist church, it grew because there was a group of people that were, you know, like the circuit riders and the pastors that had such a passion that they wanted to share it, that they'd get on their horses and travel. And every place they came, they'd have chance encounters. And the churches grew. And so, you know, one of the sad things with us as Methodist churches anymore is we don't have that same passion to go out and share that and plant churches. You know, the early Methodists were agents of God's passion. One of my favorites is Peter Cartwright. I've shared with him before about him. He was a circuit rider back in the 1800s. And he came from a rough section of Kentucky, but he got God's passion got upon him, and he shared and traveled and shared Christ, and he never let anything stop him from sharing Christ. He didn't even let who the person was stop him from sharing Christ. He was preaching one time in the deep south, and the one pastor at the church he was speaking at was kind of a timid guy. And the guy said, "Whatever you do," he said, "Andrew Jackson is liable to come into church." He said, "Just don't say anything offensive." So Peter Cartwright's preaching and sharing, and Andrew Jackson comes in and leans against a post that was in the thing. And Peter Cartwright looked at him, and he looked at the other pastor, and then he said, "And who does Andrew Jackson think he is if he doesn't repent and turn to Christ, that he wouldn't go to hell?" Andrew Jackson, he had dinner a number of times after that and became good friends. Peter Cartwright took every opportunity he could to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. At one point, he was on a riverboat ferry going across, and he got talking with the guy that had the riverboat ferry, and the guy told him, he said, "The one person I'm waiting to ride my ferry is that awful preacher, Peter Cartwright." He said, "When he gets on my ferry, I'm going to give him a dunking like he never had." Peter Cartwright grabbed hold of him and said, that's me, and jumped in. Dunked him a few times, and he got him to the shore, and then the guy accepted Jesus Christ, and he started in his church right there with that guy and his family. There's story after story of him taking every opportunity he could. I could tell you a couple more if you wanted to hear them. You know, see me afterwards. Peter Cartwright, you know, he was an example of some of the different type of people in the early church that said every encounter, every person we meet is a potential person to come to Jesus Christ and to grow the church. Do we have that kind of passion? Do we want to share that kind of passion? It's my hope that that'll be your desire, that you'll start saying, "Who is it that I might see that I can share more of Jesus with?" It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter what their opinion, their attitude is, whether they want to dunk me or whether they're a famous general. What matters most is that they hear about Jesus Christ. We need to be agents of God's passion. Let's pray together. Father, would you help us? Help us, Lord, to be your servants, your agents of passion. Lord, to proclaim the name of Jesus to every opportunity we have, every chance encounter. In Jesus' name, amen. You may feel you're not smart enough, qualified enough to share stories of passion with Jesus. You're sharing basically your own encounter with him. But I encourage you to think about who can you engage and who can you gather with together. And you'll find that there's a lot of these little boxes sitting around the church that you can take one. And it has a little booklet inside that has like four lessons of studies that you can have together, you know, with someone. And there's QR codes if you want videos to watch and teachings there. And there's four lessons with questions and things that you can pick one of these up if you want. You can take two or three of them if you want. And get together with some people and say, let's go through this just as a time to share the love of Jesus Christ with each other. That we can get Christ's love, the passion of Jesus Christ, spread into every home around us. It could be your neighbor, could be a coworker. You could say, let's do this together through lunch, or you know, it could be friends, it could be family. But think about who can you share the passion of Jesus' love with and be with them.